today we are focusing on 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And the title of the message is Sheep Need Shepherds. Sheep Need Shepherds. It's funny, a couple years ago when people were they were on this kick during the COVID time and people were making fun of other people and they were calling them sheeple. And Christians were doing this. And I'm like, guys, you is one. You're sheep. We're all sheep. The difference is your shepherd Jesus, right? And there's a lot of people who don't have a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd. They need a shepherd because when sheep don't have shepherds, things don't go very well. And so let's look at this passage. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4 says that the elders who are among you, I exhort. I, Peter, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says to them, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And then he says to them, nor being lords over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter's wrapping up this letter, and it's an amazing letter. And he's saying, I want to focus on you elders here. Now, our temptation might be to skip over these four verses and say it's not relevant to us because I am not one of those elders. However, you have to remember that this was written to many churches, to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, to all of these different churches. And this letter would have been opened up and read on a Sunday gathering, and they would have heard all of these words. So there is something here for you as a church, something that's actually very important. And the main thrust for us as a church today is that sheep need shepherds. And the elders needed to know how to lead. But the church also needs to understand why Jesus gave them shepherds to lead the sheep. One thing that kind of stands out to me is that the command itself, which is to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, doesn't even come until the second verse. The first verse is an introduction. You look at it and you're like, well, Peter, didn't you already introduce yourself at the very beginning? You said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints who are in the dispersion, who are dispersed. But here, he's introducing himself specifically because he wants to zero in on those who are leaders within the church. And he tells them to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. And that phrase is the driving force of these four verses. And that brings us to our first point. The first truth is sheep need shepherds. Now, how many times have you seen this clip here, this clip of the sheep that falls in the ditch? Has anybody seen this? Sheep need shepherds. Sometimes it can be frustrating as shepherds to watch as you rescue. Just this morning, you know, someone told me, a person who was going in the right direction suddenly went back in the wrong direction. And they're like, if I had hair, I'd pull it out. You know, it's frustrating to watch it happen. It's like, you know, how many times do the sheep need to be rescued? Many times. The Bible consistently describes God's people as sheep. That's okay, because when sheep have a shepherd, there's a blessing there. Psalm chapter 100 says that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I love that so many of you memorize the word, and I can always hear your voices kind of like finishing my sentences. That's why I pause sometimes. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. All we, like sheep, have gone. Sheep are not exactly portrayed as the most impressive creatures. We go astray. In fact, in the Bible, most of the connotations to the sheep is all negative, apart from the leadership of the shepherd. So when the shepherd comes into play, suddenly there's something good happening here. The sheep are going in a good direction. Good works are happening and things that are good. But there's a reason why most teams don't use a sheep. I mean, sometimes a ram. Usually you don't see sheep as a mascot. It's just not the best mascot. They're not the best, you know, guard animals either. Nobody ever has a sign in front of their house, beware of sheep. They're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We sang those words last week. And this is especially important in the context of 1 Peter, because remember, he's talking to the Christians in the dispersion who are in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Christians scattered abroad, Christians suffering. Did I tell you this letter's about suffering? Almost every week we talk about suffering lately. They're vulnerable. They're living in difficult circumstances. And Peter's concern is that they have shepherds to lead and to guide them. Sheep get stressed out. They, when they're chased, when they're harassed in the field, they can develop stressful symptoms, which actually can kill the sheep because they can't handle it. The main verb of this passage is important. Shepherd. Not manage the flock. Not build an organization. Not run a successful ministry, but shepherd. And what it connotes is care, guidance, feeding, nourishment, and love. So when Peter is talking to these shepherds of the flock, these elders who are called to shepherd the flock of God, he's not giving us some new idea. He's not giving us something that, you know, the church has been operating for a while and they got a problem, kind of like, you know, we got to have a multi-site campus because we got this problem, we got growth, and we got to start up campus. It's not one of those things, okay? He's not solving a problem here. He's using a solution that Jesus gave him right from the start of his church. And we know in our minds right away what Peter's thinking, and this is the amazing thing about reading the letters of Peter and reading the letters of Paul after reading the Gospels and reading Acts, because you know the things that happened that inspired them to write the things they're writing, and you know how the Spirit's working through them to remind the people of things that Jesus had told them. And what did Jesus tell Peter? He pulled Peter aside on the beach, and he said, feed my lambs. And then again, he said to Peter, do you love me? He said, shepherd my sheep. And then again, do you love me? And then he said, feed my sheep. And a lot of people have spent a lot of time trying to figure out why did he say it in that order and why did he say feed and shepherd and shepherd and feed and, you know, and try to figure out all those words. But I think the main point there is this. Shepherding is important. And sheep need shepherds. We learned in Titus the importance, and one of the most important things about shepherding is the word of God. I am so thankful for a church that reads the word, a church that studies the word. After 30 years of ministry, to see a church that loves the word of God, to know that there's people in our church that have memorized entire books of the Bible is such an encouragement to me. To know that there's people in our church this year who are reading through the Bible for the first time in their lives, and they got questions. And they're figuring it out, and they're trusting the Holy Spirit, because the way the shepherd leads the sheep is feeding the word of God, feeding the sheep. Nourishment is so important. And we learned in our Titus study with 90 of our church members just a couple weeks ago the importance of doctrine, teaching the word of God, because doctrine leads to godly living. Remember that? Over and over again, we emphasize that point. And also protecting. Shepherds, thank you for protecting us. Larry, thank you for protecting us all these years. Thank you for those early years of my ministry where I started going in a direction that I was not supposed to go. Remember that Larry remembers this one Sunday. where I read a really good book and I was so inspired. I threw out my sermon and I just preached what this book said. And that's that, you know what? From now on, I'm not preaching Sunday mornings. We're just gonna have, everybody's gonna come with a song and a message and a scripture and we're all just gonna share. And it was my early years of ministry with our little church of 60 people. And Larry pulled me aside after the service and he says, "Pastor, next Sunday you're gonna get up there and you're gonna preach the word. Because you're our pastor, you're our leader." And I said, "Yes, Larry." "Yes, I will." And he corrected me. I was inspired by something that, yes, there's some biblical truth to what I was believing and thinking, but I can just imagine the crazy direction our church would have went if it just became this free-for-all, unshepherded direction. And so, Larry, thank you for shepherding the flock of God which is among you. Thank you to our elders over time for correcting things in my character. This is the thing that the elders are also shepherding the other elders within the church. I'm thankful for that because sheep need shepherds, and I is one of them. They also need to protect the flock, right? Shepherds need to protect the flock. We see this in the Old Testament with 1 Samuel 17:34, where David says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion and the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock," he's like, what did he do? Did he run away with the rest of the sheep and let the lion eat that one? No, he says, "I grabbed the thing by the beard and struck it and killed it." Like, what on earth? How will you risk your life for the sheep? That's what shepherds do. And that is what Jesus did, setting the example for us. And that leads us to our second point, which is that shepherds need humility. That's your second truth. Shepherds need humility. And we see this emphasized over and over again. We see different titles that are given here, and some people are confused by this, but it's not confusing. He first says, "I exhort the elders who are among you." And then he says that we are to shepherd the sheep. So there's elders, shepherds. And then he tells us that they are to be overseers. And so you get three different titles. And some people, they look at that and they think, okay, we need three different positions. But what he's doing is he's explaining three different perspectives of one position. And that is the elders who are among you, pastor, elder, people who are leading and guiding the flock. And therefore, we see these different things. The overseer could be seen as the oversight. Don't think overlook. I made that mistake once when Pastor Mark, he went and he headed out somewhere to be a part of a mission. When he left, I was telling people that I'm going to overlook the youth ministry while he's away. And everybody let me say it. I would announce it on Sundays. I'm overlooking the youth ministry while Mark's away. And maybe they thought I was honestly overlooking it. But I meant oversee. They are overseers in the sense that they are looking at the congregation, the whole, and leading and directing and seeing things that need to be seen through the lens of Scripture and directing. And they do this as elders, those who have wisdom, those who are called by God to lead. And they're doing this as shepherds, serving the flock, directing the flock, correcting the flock, defending, guarding, feeding the word of God to the flock. But shepherds need humility. Look at how Peter introduces himself even here. Peter could have introduced himself and said, "Okay, elders, you elders, as I exhort you here, I just want you to know, first of all, I'm the guy that Jesus called the rock," right? That's what he could have said. He could have said, "I'm the guy who walked on the water to go to Jesus." He could have said that, "I went up one day on this mountain and I hung out with Elijah and Moses and Jesus. And I tell you, that was crazy." So just so you know who you're talking to here. No, he says, "I, a fellow elder." And see, this is how we lead in the church here. I am one elder among five. And we encourage each other. And when necessary, we correct each other. And we lead the church together. And so he instructs us. And it's funny because we're talking about Peter here, one of the disciples who, and this happened, there's definitely four occurrences. There's many accounts of it, but there's definitely four occurrences in the word that tell us that the disciples, especially those sons of thunder, James and John, remember those two? They even sent Ma over to Jesus one day. Ma comes up to Jesus and is like, hey, you know, James and John, they're just wondering. They want, you know, we want to make sure that one of them gets the right hand and one gets the left hand in your kingdom. You know, so they sent Mom to do their work there. And they would argue, and Jesus would overhear them arguing, and who's going to be the greatest? Who gets to sit in this spot with Jesus? And they're fighting over who gets the best spot. And Peter, I'm sure, was part of those conversations. Even at the Passover meal. They were fighting at the Passover meal. What does Jesus do? He goes and he robes himself like a servant and he washes their feet. And he says to them, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And what does Peter then tell these elders? He says, not as those who lord it over the others. That's not us. Jesus made that abundantly clear. Instead, we are to encourage. We are to exhort. And he also makes it very clear that the way that we are to serve as elders is not by compulsion, but willingly. And this is how we at Sweets, over 30 years of ministry, I've seen this every time it happens this way. We see somebody within the church who is ministering to people, praying over people, serving people, visiting people, teaching the word, loving the word of God. And as they do those things, guess what the other leaders say? Oh, we got another elder. That is the natural flow. There's not this compulsion of, hey, you know, we're gonna make you do these things. In fact, I think it's in Timothy that talks about it's a good thing to desire to be in that position, to desire to encourage and grow the church. It's an amazing thing to be a part of. But the elder is to be one of humility, one to serve. This is what God calls us to do. Peter would shake his head if he looked at the church today. In some ways, he would probably shake his head as he sees some of the titles, as he sees some of the big hats. And some people read these passages and they turn these words into big words. And really, all they are is very simple descriptors of service and feeding and shepherding and helping and loving. And they don't require big hats. Mike Laba this morning met me as we were going into the mess hall and he said, Wes, Pastor Wes. And I said, oh no, Mike, it's the very right Reverend Bishop Wesley DeVries. Thank you. He starts laughing. He knows me too well already. I love doing it to first-time guests. I got to be careful, though. You know, I don't want to scare anybody off. But I love the look on people's face as I give that title. And then I just like, no, I'm just kidding. You can just call me Wes, or, you know, if you must, you know, Pastor, I guess. That's okay. But the point is that they were never meant to be given as these grand titles. It was callings. It was doing the work of the ministry is what God had called them to. In fact, when he says being an example to the flock, the word example there literally gives the idea of imprinting, making a stamp. I remember going to one church once where this pastor had this certain hairdo. Couldn't imitate it, but he had a certain hairdo, and then he would train all the young men in the church to be like him, and they would all preach like him, and they literally had his hairdo, and it was kind of creepy. That's not the type of imprinting that we're going for. That's not the type of stamp. But I am so thankful for a church that loves the word, because that means that our elder team and our leadership of the church is imprinting upon our congregation the importance of loving the word of God and living out the word of God. And one phrase in particular in regards to shepherds and humility is this word, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Not my flock. This is God's church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. We don't own the sheep. When people talk about their churches. As a pastor, when I talk about a church, I got to be careful to not talk about my church, as in the sense of as if somehow this flock is my flock. It is the flock of God that is among us. And we are under the head shepherd. Verse 2 says they are God's flock. In verse 3, it says they are entrusted to you. They're not given to you. They are entrusted to you. And then in verse 4, he comes into talking about the chief shepherd. And so this entire passage is written in such a way as to remind you that we as elders are under shepherds. Under, and this is our fourth point, and that is that there is a, or sorry, our third point. You're like, where was the third point? Everyone needs the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, I love that wording. It reminds me of Hebrews, that great shepherd of the sheep. The chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one that we are under, his leadership and his authority. And it's so comforting to me. You know why? Because I mess up. Over the years, we all have big mess ups. There's some really dumb things. I would never even mention them because you might just leave the church already. If you hear some of the dumb things that I've done over the years, foolish things. And yet God has grace and Jesus is the chief shepherd and I serve under him. He corrects me when I'm wrong. He directs me through his word. And so it's comforting to know that we have the chief shepherd. Peter's readers would have right away saw that wording and they would right away think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. The Lord God is the chief shepherd. Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel promises that God himself is going to feed the sheep. God was frustrated. He's speaking through Ezekiel and he's saying to the Jewish people, he's like, you guys are not feeding the sheep. You are fattening yourselves up. You're a bunch of, you know, fat shepherds taking care of yourself and you're not doing the thing you're supposed to do. And God says, I myself am going to come down and I'm going to lead my sheep. What a beautiful case for Jesus being God. Right? The Bible makes it abundantly clear that Jesus is God. Because who is the chief shepherd? It is Jesus. And the reward that Christ gives us, he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory, which does not fade away. You know, we love this property and this building, and just we're so happy to be here. It's all going to fade away. All the new shiny stuff, it's going to become rusty. Even when we clad these beams in beautiful wood, you know, to offset it, it'll become old. Everything will fall apart over time. We're going to maintain it. But in the end, we don't know what's next. This congregation, we don't know how things, the future is of our congregation, of, you know, where people are going to go and how things are going. We have no, everything in this world is just kind of fading. But this we know. We will receive the crown of glory, which does not fade away. You know, we look at our old suites building, and it's fading away. It's hard for us to see things fade away, isn't it? And yet, one day, we will receive the crown of glory, which does not fade away. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And our third point is that everyone needs him. Everyone needs the chief shepherd. We've been reminding you ever since the series began of two things. One is, in this life, there will be suffering, and you will suffer for your faith. If you live out your faith, you're going to suffer. I'm so thankful for a church that is living out their faith, sharing their faith, but you're going to get in some trouble for it. And when you do, know this, glory is coming because Jesus Christ suffered and then he went and he was glorified, given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And our suffering connects us to the work of Jesus Christ, not that we are paying for anybody's sins, but we get to suffer with him, that we may also be, as I think it's Romans tells us, glorified together. And this is something that we're seeing once again in this passage, and we're going to see it probably one or two more times before we're done in the next 2 weeks. And that is, suffering leads to glory, and that is good news. And so what do you take away from this verse, or these four verses? Sheep need shepherds. Shepherds need humility. And also, all of us need that chief shepherd, that great shepherd. One day, every sheep, all of you, every shepherd will stand before the great chief shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep. And until that day, our encouragement is all of us, let's follow him. Let's run hard after him. Let's follow after Jesus. He is the chief shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. I want to invite our elders up to the front, actually. So let's have all our elders come up to the front. And we never had the opportunity to pray over Dad, Dick DeVries, or John Edelman. And so we're going to pray over those two as well as Michael, but in the future we'll have an ordination service. Let's come up right up to the front here. We're going to have an ordination service. So that's humility. They try to stay down on the ground. But I love to, you know, asking the elders, it's always kind of a reluctant thing of, you know, do I have to have the title? Is pretty much what all of these guys have said when we ask them to serve as elders. Can I just like do it without the title? And I love that heart. They just want to do the work of the ministry. And we're so blessed by that. And so just for clarification as well, did I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Oh, 6. No, 5? How many? Yeah, you 6. I never counted myself. That's what happened. We have 6. I said 5 elders. We have 6 elders. So just so you know, pastor, when I say pastor, that's serving in the role of elder as well. And Michael and I take like lead roles in ministry. And then, of course, you know, you guys pay us to actually do some of the work of the ministry. And we're so blessed to be a part of getting to do this. It's just the most amazing thing ever. And I'm also so thankful that, it's funny, because as I was quoting this passage over and over again in my mind, just thinking about it, sometimes I'd slip up and I'd be thinking about Michael and the fact that before he was a pastor, at one time he was a welder. And so sometimes I say fellow welder instead of fellow elder. But I don't know why my mind sometimes it gets distracted as I'm quoting the scripture. But I love the fact that he worked as a welder and as a farmer. Before I was a pastor, I was a farmer as well. I was a computer programmer for a few years. And then we have all of these different tradesmen coming from different parts of life, you know, working with people and working in business, working in agriculture. And I love the diversity because I believe that God works and he speaks through those different like allegorical ways that we see through the parables in the Bible, and that you can all relate to people in different ways. And so I really appreciate our elder team and your service and the time that you give to building up this flock of God, which is among you. And so what we're gonna do is we're just gonna lay hands and pray over. So I'll put Michael over with Dad and John. And so we'll have Larry and John just pray a prayer blessing as these guys start off with Larry. And then pass the mic on to John and just let's lay hands on these guys and pray over them as they begin their work together. And then we'll have another service later on once Michael finishes his ordination. And so that's that process has begun and we'll get there. Yeah, paperwork, lots of papers. So let's stand up together as a church and let's pray over this team.
Oh, Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to gather here together in one accord. We welcome your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've moved upon us, upon Pastor Wes and Pastor Mike. We thank you for each one that gives their time and talent. Lord, we just pray blessing. Your mighty blessings upon each one. Anoint afresh and anew this very morning. Strengthen, guide, direct. Bring us into a closer relationship with you. We'll give you all the praise.
Father, we thank you for for John and Dick here that are so willing to come on and serve as well. And we thank you for such an awesome congregation that we can be part of, and that you've called us all together as your family. And may we just together serve one another and honor you through everything that's done. So just empower these two guys and all of us as elders to have wisdom and guide us through this, and continue to bless our leaders of Wes and Mike, and the way that they have this extra responsibility, that you'll just touch their lives and empower them and protect them, and that your hand will continue to be on this congregation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you guys can take your seats. In a few weeks, we're going to be, you're going to be seeing these guys up here sharing in 3 weeks' time. We're going to be talking about where, kind of the culture of Sweets, where we've come from, what God has done throughout history. And all of our elders have come in different times in history, so we have some neat stories to tell you and to give you a feel of what Sweets is all about. And we're going to be doing that one Sunday. Then in between all of that, we're going to be having some sessions that aren't going to be on a Sunday morning. It's going to be held throughout the week, and that those are going to be in regard to what do we believe as a church? What do we believe about, you know, God's creation? What do we believe in regard to marriage and sexuality? What do we believe in regard to the Word of God and salvation and all of these different things? So it's more of like a understanding the faith of Sweets Church. And then finally, we're going to be having one final session, and that is how do you get involved? What is it that makes up the church in regard to how we serve and how we work as the family of God? And so we're going to be doing a 2-week session with all of those different things to, it's kind of like a mass onboarding for membership, because we've never had a membership at Sweets Church all these years, but now we kind of got to, you know, we're kind of getting older, you know, or bigger, and we got to put our big boy pants on and like act like, you know, a little more formal and stuff in those ways. And I know it's something I put off, and it's like, you know, can we just keep going the way we're going? And it's like, yeah, we can, but let's allow people to understand who we are as a church. And that way, when people join, they don't at the church for a while and then realize, oh man, I didn't know they believe that. And then they leave, that we're just a little more upfront with, this is what we believe, this is who we are, and this is where we're going. And therefore, we're a little more cohesive as the body. And so we're going to be doing that in a few weeks, and looking forward for everybody to be a part of that. And we'll put that out by email. But let's stand up together. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.